Bold Americans, welcome to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. So glad that you're tuned back in for part two with Andy Feit, the jazz comic philosopher. In part one, you heard about how Andy got started in his career. We then talked some taboo topics, and we tried to teach how we can have difficult conversations while still respecting the human being. We ended the conversation with Andy telling us why he felt skeptical of the COVID vaccine with some stories. And we're going to join today with him talking a little bit more about what was the response to COVID in Sweden compared to the United States and what was he seeing abroad. Before we get right back into the interview, the start part two, I just want to remind everybody you can find me on Twitter at RealGregBolden, or you can email me with any thoughts about this show or any future or past shows, AmericaEmboldened@gmail.com. Sit back, relax, grab your cup of coffee or whatever you like, because here comes part two. What was it that didn't seem right to you in 2020 about how your country that you're in maybe locked down, shut down, I don't know, versus what you were seeing here in the headlines in the United States?
Okay, well, I guess the first thing to say is that Sweden was a standout country in that we had, the guy that corresponds to Fauci is a guy named Anders Tegnell, who to contrast with Fauci, this is one of the things that got my radar going beep, 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 was how much fun he looked like he was having, this Fauci. You know, he really seemed to be enjoying himself. Well, Tegnell, whatever good and bad there is about him, he didn't look like he was enjoying it. He looked really, really sad, like he was dealing with something serious, and I appreciate that. One of the things that he was mindful of, which really went down the chute in most places, was that COVID, however serious it was going to turn out to be, is not the only thing that one must consider in dealing with public health. And that went completely crazy in everything else. So, I mean, we know about missed cancer screenings and the disruption of education. So we didn't have mask mandates except in the subway.
For the entirety of COVID, there was no mask mandates?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I'm going to clarify as I hear things, just in case. I'm going to try to ask the questions that people may want to know.
Yeah, and I hope I remember everything properly, but they didn't close the schools. They did shut down all the performance venues, so there were no gigs for about a year there. That was hard. Teaching, which is my bread and butter, that had to go on Zoom. And so I lost a whole lot of students. The singing students I couldn't even meet because you have to play together, and that was impossible. And the guitar lessons had to change too.
So schools were open, but teaching had to go on Zoom, or you chose to go on Zoom? I just want to clarify.
Good. Well, my music school, we could not meet. Yeah, that.
Okay.
That is,
thank you.
Anyway, so all I want to say is that the Swedish thing was a lot less restrictive than most places, and that there was an early disaster because of the structure of two things, the structure of elder care and the fact that in the last week of February, it's in the region of the country that I'm in, that's the winter vacation week. So schools are out, and a lot of people went to the Italian Alps for a vacation to ski. And that was exactly the time that it was blowing up in northern Italy. So so a lot of COVID came back to Stockholm right then. So that was the unlucky bit, and then the structure of elder care, they just screwed that up, and a lot of older people died. So we have worse mortality numbers here than they have in Denmark and Norway and Finland. What's the question?
So I'm just looking for you to compare the United States reaction, Sweden's reaction, then maybe what seemed odd to you.
Yeah, okay, well, I mean, I guess I had a few things that, like I say, got my, like put the red flag up for me. One was the vaccine was brand new and untested, right? And now we know that they unblinded the study after 2 months, the Pfizer thing. So there's no control group. So that's suspicious. And then I heard that the pharmaceutical companies were indemnified against lawsuits. So that, okay. So wait, here's an experimental vaccine and you can't be sued if you hurt me. And then that it was emergency use authorizations so that an EUA is only possible, legally at least, if there's no existing medicine that would be useful. And so the suppression of, and I don't know the true value of hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. I've tended to believe the people that say that they worked. Though they say ivermectin is, I have heard that ivermectin is not working so well anymore against the new variants, but anyway. So those things, experimental vaccine, indemnification of the pharma companies, the whole business with EUA and casting mud at existing medicines with good safety profiles. And then Fauci, who, I mean, maybe it's a prejudice thing, but that Brooklyn accent didn't inspire confidence. And the guy looked like he was having fun. And those things put me, and then because this can be personal, but I am certainly a person who needs contact with other human beings, including physical contact. And I feel this strongly enough that I think it's endemic to our species, that we're supposed to meet, we're supposed to be close, we're supposed to breathe together and touch. So I saw harm in the measures taken. I think it was probably in June of 2020 that it hit me so hard, like an intuition from someplace else, that the measures taken were going to wind up doing more harm than the virus ever could have. And I do think that time has borne that idea out. Then I got the COVID in the fall of 20 and was pretty sick 10 days. I was basically getting better when I called. There's a healthcare, by the way, in Sweden is a whole lot better than the US. Let me say that.
Let's get to that later. We'll get to that later. I want to talk about that later.
Yeah, there's a phone number you can call and talk to a nurse about whatever's going on. You can always do this anytime. 1177. My heart was kind of jumping around, and there was a lot of hysteria about possible damage to the heart when you get COVID. So I called just to ask about it. The fever had come down. I was feeling a little better. I was really tired, but to my surprise, she called the paramedics, and the paramedics came and took my blood oxygen, my EKG, and blood pressure, I guess, and temperature, and everything was normal. But they still, this was right at the beginning of our autumn wave, and the hospitals were pretty calm. And maybe it's really the eighth day or something like that when the cytokine storm can start, which I think is really an allergic reaction to dead viral debris. That's my understanding of, or the understanding that made sense to me of what goes on when it gets serious. So that's about the time when maybe since we're not doing that much, we ought to take him in for observation. And then I was in the hospital for 3 days with COVID, very tired for some weeks afterwards. But then I thought, okay, I'm I've got natural immunity. And I mean, all our lives we've heard about that. So, and that's another weird thing. Okay, they called ivermectin horse paste, and natural immunity became a right-wing talking point. Now, that's insane. I am not a right-winger, by the way.
No, I know.
I guess I'd say I'm a civil libertarian with civil libertarian, I would rather say, with socialist yearnings, or communist yearnings. Well, I think we ought to help each other. I think we ought to, we're better off if we're not in competition, but we're better off in cooperation. But that's, I'm changing the subject.
I think that I don't want to get too far away from the subject, but yeah. Before you say that you're communist, I disagree with you. I actually think you're more libertarian, because in the conversations, you believe in the power of you and I to actually lift up other people, that we can use our resources to help other people. And giving, charitably in order to do so, versus giving by coercion and force. I don't think you're one for coercion and force.
No, I'm not one for coercion and force. I'm really not. I'm very definitely not. Communist is a word which got hijacked, I would say, by the Soviet Union, which was not a communist country any more than the United States is a democracy. it was not communist. It was state capitalism, really, with heavy state control. And of course, once Stalin got a hold of the thing, there was some hope for about 12 years, I would say, after 1917. But Stalin was a tremendously effective operator, and had his illness and dragged his whole country into hell. And so when people talk about communism, that's what mostly we're talking about. But if you go back to Marx's Communist Manifesto, there's the idea of our evolution before agriculture began and the patriarchy started. People lived in pretty small groups. Everybody knew each other. Women had as much influence as men, and it was fiercely egalitarian. The one thing that you would not be forgiven for is taking more than your share. You could lose your life if you took more than your share, because you'd be ostracized and you'd be on your own without the protection of other people. We're not going to get back there. But given where we are now, how we've evolved as a species in 10,000 years, I mean, things do happen. We're not going to get back to anything pure like that. But the idea that we need each other, and anybody hurting is hurting all of us, and anybody grabbing more than their share is really hurting all of us. So that's kind of where I am. And then so I speak as somebody who I have more than my share. So capitalism has been good to me.
But I would say capitalism isn't what has been good to you. I don't believe that we have capitalism. I don't believe that we've had capitalism for some time now. We have Marxism.
That's a good point.
And so when people say, oh, capitalism is a failed thing, look at how the billionaires are getting richer. It's BS. You don't have capitalism. The billionaires are getting richer off tax codes. They're getting richer off Marxist principles.
Marxist principles. Wait a minute. I might push back on that. But
go ahead. Go ahead. How would you push back on that?
I don't know what to say. I don't think that's in Marx. I don't think that's in, I don't, you'll think you'll find that in Karl Marx.
Huh. So what are some of your understandings of Marxist economic theories?
Oh, I better not go there, because I don't know much. Well, what Marx mostly did was describe capitalism, and then in its exploitative aspects.
Right.
But I haven't got much to say about it, frankly. I might even be wrong about what I
said. So where I was going to go with it, the reason I'm making that connection is Marxism is part of a political economy.
Okay.
And what I'm trying to state to you is, when we allow people like Jeff Bezos, to use tax loopholes and not pay taxes,
Yeah.
And granted, yeah, he's paying all the Amazon workers. There's tax paid there. Like, I understand all of that. Mm-hmm. But when there's something on there, the government is choosing a political economy. And when you have a political economy, you do not have capitalism. And at this point, the Federal Reserve controlling and manipulating the money is not true capitalism.
You're absolutely right.
So that's where I wanted to go with that. I'm not saying that the whole thing is completely Marxism in economics. It's that piece of the puzzle.
I'll agree entirely there.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for capitalism, but I don't think we've experienced capitalism. I'd love to see capitalism work again.
Right. Well, it went over to finance. Adam Smith warned against the accession to power of finance, of bankers, you know. Right. And that's what we're really in debt peonage now. And that's somehow the thing that's got to be dismantled. I don't know how that can be done when they have so much power.
All right, so let's get back to disinformation, misinformation, malinformation.
That's my song.
It is your song. Yeah. So you wrote a song, Is This Information? And I'm going to play it here in a few moments so people can hear it. But I just wanted you to tell me, like, what was it about the past 2 years that caused you to write this song? What was the inspiration?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I just started hearing that word. I mean, I listened to... A big part of my songwriting is just to try to integrate the natural music of speech, just the way we talk, right? So that my big central idea about songwriting structurally is that a melody should not at any point disagree with the natural melody of those words when you say them. So when I hear people talk, I'll hear a rhythm. I kept hearing this disinformation, misinformation, malinformation. It sounded like a song already. I mean, I keep hearing my song when people spin that phrase out. It was very easy to. It came up finally when they named Nina Jankowicz, and this Ministry of Truth board. And of course, I mean, I've been living with this, people pushing back on the things that I said by sending me links to Snopes and PolitiFact, which, you know, okay, that's already the Ministry of Truth, it seems to me. Congress shall make no law, I've heard, abridging the freedom of speech. Or that's what they used to teach, as I recall. I guess it was naive of people to believe they had the brains to know the truth of things without ever even asking. Is this information, disinformation, misinformation, malinformation? What information can I believe tonight? I thought we had a right to kind of figure it out ourselves, but I don't know. I'm starting to wonder, when nobody knows where the vanished video goes. I wanted to remember this thing I heard a couple weeks ago, but now I see that it must be a lie. Propaganda. Is this information, disinformation, misinformation, malinformation? Who in the nation can sort this out for me? We have many a war to win, and we're all in this together. Or is this information, disinformation too?
That is Andy Fight with his song, Is This Information, Disinformation, here during part two of our interview. We're going to take a quick break here to hear a word from our sponsors. You are listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
It's summertime. Ready for your vacation to the beach, the lake, or the mountains? But what about your accommodations? Ever wonder what germs were left behind by the previous guests? Kathy G. from Tulsa says the Genesis Fogger gives her peace of mind and confidence when traveling. With Genesis, she knows that the air and surfaces in her vacation rental are free of bacteria and viruses left behind by the previous occupants. Visit genesisfolger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Folger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Before the break, we were talking about disinformation and what's going on in America, and we heard Andy's new song, Is This Information Disinformation? Let's continue on with the conversation about the state of our country. Yeah, how do you... Okay, so two things you just said there. One, Jankiewicz that was assigned to the disinformation governance under Homeland Security. Right. She's already resigned because she had to resign. She stated that Hunter Biden's laptop was part of a Trump political creation.
So, Putin. It's Russian disinformation.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not sure if you listened to it, but I interviewed the guy who actually has the laptop.
I want to listen. I know that you did, but I didn't hear it yet.
So, I mean, I know for a fact, because as a doing journalism and verifying my source and making sure that what I'm reporting is valid, I know for a fact that is not Trump political creations or anything else. Yeah. So if the person that you put in charge of that board is automatically spreading misinformation, I'm not going to go into malinformation or disinformation. Mm-hmm. Let's just say they were misinformed, which I don't believe that. I will go there. I believe it was disinformation. I believe it was deceitful on behalf of the government in protecting interest. Yep. So if the very board that is designed to tell the American public what is disinformation is themselves guilty of disinformation.
We're in the Soviet period with this.
Absolutely.
This is what it's like. You know, Pravda means truth. You know that, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Excuse me. Go ahead.
And the second thing is Snopes, right? You got a website where there's individuals that are fact checking and putting things up, and people just immediately go, oh, well, that was fact checked. That's absolute truth.
Isn't that
it is the same foolishness that I see of what's going on in the government. Am I wrong? Why do we have trust in certain parts of this institution, or the fact that we believe that if we Google something, that we got the complete set of results?
Yeah, when Google is all tied in with the CIA, come on.
How do we get people to pay attention? People are going to say when they hear this, Greg, your conversation right there, you were spreading disinformation. No, I'm not. I'm spreading truth. And you're too much of an idiot to actually look at the facts.
Yeah, but there's where you got to bring your humility, right? Because
I know, but I have trouble with my humility when I see just stupidity.
Yeah, but that's how they feel. So watch it. You know, you're going to get that.
I know you're so right. You're so right. Thank you for calling me back.
Yeah, for real. The best we can do is stay as open as we can, stay as grounded in our bodies and the flow of our energy so that we're not cycling into neurotic patterns and getting our buttons pushed and winding it up even tighter. And then, you know, given the best state of loose openness we can bring, try to think of what made sense and listen to people who seem to make sense. And then we get back into the problem of confirmation bias. But that's still, I think, the best we can do. What seems to make sense. What else can we really do?
I don't know. It sometimes seems very, very depressing be stuck in a world where I believe that I've discovered the objective truth. And I believe that I can prove that I have the objective truth. Mm. And everybody else is yelling and screaming at me that that is not truth, that's not facts, and guilty of the very thing that they claim to be against. Like Deborah Birx, she stated over the weekend that she knew, based upon how the studies were done, that vaccines did not protect against infection. She came out on the news. It's like, wait a minute. So you knew this, but there are people that lost their jobs that can no longer work because employment here in the United States, I don't know how it was in Sweden, but employers here in the United States said to people, if you don't get the vaccine, you're fired. There's people right now that when they're being hired, they're being told, you either get the vaccine or we don't offer you employment. But it doesn't protect against infection, Andy. We know this now.
Yep.
In that same interview, she said natural immunity is likely better than the vaccine, that they discovered that the vaccine is just like natural immunity, and they have no way of saying which one is actually more protective.
Do you remember in February, the Munich Security Conference, right before February 24th, Bill Gates was on, and he said, sadly, the Omicron variant is acting like a natural vaccine. Sadly, he said.
Yeah. Say it louder for the people in the back, Andy.
A hair too transparent for me.
But is it because you and I have the time to research? Is it because you and I have the time to actually look into things? What is it about the makeup of people like yourself and myself that allows us to see the words, the facts, and others to remain loyal to the talking points of Fauci in the original statements, the government, employers? Why is it people are still playing on the emotions, their feelings, that you're going to die if you get this? You and I both had it, and it's not a picnic, but we didn't die. What is it about? How are people brainwashed? What the hell is going on?
First of all, I'm still not entirely sure that I've been right about everything. I just think so. So there's that. So again, I share that with the people that disagree with me. It's very difficult, and I've been worried about this the whole time. If the preponderance of evidence winds up showing that I've been wrong all the time, at what point am I going to be able to admit it? It's going to be hard. It's very hard to say I was wrong. Maybe those are the wisest words in the English language.
But here's the thing. I think that you could say that you're wrong. I think that you're an empathetic person that could admit that. I know I can.
It's hard though.
I mean, come on. You're married. We're used to saying the words "I was wrong," right?
Oh, we never disagree. No, actually, not that much though. And very peacefully. My wife is a good one. Yeah.
So is mine, and we rarely have disagreements, which is awesome. But I guess I'm getting to the point. I'm able to say I'm wrong, and I'm willing to say I was wrong. But the facts that keep coming out, the science that keeps coming out is now pushing back into the facts and science that I was looking at before. And the narrative is changing daily, right? I talked to a good friend of mine. We often relate the COVID scare as the September 11th security station when they used to get up there and say, today our threat level is orange.
Yeah,
right? It's the same thing. We sound the alarm. Now it's monkeypox. Yeah. Which
they were working on that in Wuhan. You know that, right?
Okay, I got to verify that before I go with you on that.
Yeah, well, this is what I heard, at least. The NIH and Wuhan were working on a variant of monkeypox, which could be detected by a PCR test. So keep your eyes open for more of that. It might be like, I'm not scared of COVID anymore, but okay, if the monkeypox comes around, which I've heard the word plandemic recently, which is depressing.
Well, I heard plandemic early on, that there was a movie called The Plandemic.
Oh, when, okay.
Yeah. I try not to go into conspiracies. So I'm going, before I continue down that road with you, yeah. I want to research that a little bit more. Just like early on in the pandemic, when I was doing research, there was a study done that did the DNA of COVID-19. And there was a very small segment that had a strand of the same DNA as HIV when it came to the spike protein. And I pushed that out to some of my listeners. And somebody came back and said, you can't use that study yet. It's not peer reviewed.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm open to say, hey, you know what? I was wrong. It was not peer reviewed yet. It needs to be verified.
Yeah.
Strangely, Andy, that study is nowhere to be found on the internet anymore.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, it's been removed.
Okay.
I don't know who removed it. Maybe that's part of the process. When it goes through peer review, if it fails, it gets removed. But I would like to think that it should still be out there just to be able to be seen.
If the people who posted it took it down, then that's...
It's possible, right.
Yeah, yeah.
But the internet normally remembers. The other question is, I was listening to a podcast yesterday. Are we dealing with mass psychosis as a result of 2020 and what we did to society? Are we seeing a less patient society? Are we seeing a less empathetic society, one with less respect, because of the fear and because of locking down society that we took away, as you stated earlier, that innate want to be near, to have touch, to have human interaction? Are you seeing in Sweden what we're seeing in the United States as far as a society that's a little bit less kind?
Good question. I don't quite know. I might think that it's been a little bit longer. I ordered the book, and I know the bookstore has it now, because I don't like to order from Amazon. Matthias Desmet, do you know about him? This is exactly about mass psychosis. He calls it mass formation mm-hmm. hypnosis. But I think he could use the word psychosis, but he refrained from doing it because it is so insulting. Something has happened. I mean, Trump was a big upset everywhere. So all of a sudden you split into two teams, the Democrats look, I mean, I'm an old Democrat, but not anymore. What was the question? Mass psychosis. There is a tremendous difficulty in filtering out what's true and what's bullshit. There does seem to be an elevated irrationality. I do think that's true. And having read this Hannah Arendt, the Origins of Totalitarianism, there have been so many... She's basically talking about, I mean, there's a long historical thing up to the age of the Bolsheviks and the Nazis, but through this whole totalitarian phase, there were so many passages, as I read and read, that felt awfully familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Just how this mechanism goes down. But Desmet's book, Matthias Desmet, it's called The Psychology of Totalitarianism. And I'm very much looking forward to reading it. He's on podcasts all the time. You can see an interview. Matthias Desmet, it's Desmet. And I think he's a very reasonable guy who makes a lot of sense. And I think his description of what is happening to humanity, at least both here and home in the U.S., looks very true to me. So I don't know. I think Sweden generally is a moderate place. There's even a word, lagom, which is like perfect only. If we think yin and yang, perfect is yang, and lagom is yin. It's just, it's okay. You know, it's so they took a moderate approach to social distancing, because one thing which I kind of have trouble with in Sweden is that people sort of naturally socially distance anyway. It's kind of a shy culture. So that's one of the problems I've had. But what it led to during the COVID peaks was, people could just kind of be normal, because we're not big, you know, we sort of do that anyway. So it wasn't as coercive.
Here in the United States, my experience has been less people wanting to let you over into their lane. Less people holding doors. Very, very much like more afraid of having those human interaction and moments.
Yeah. Oh, I've got one for you. When the Me Too broke out, what year was that? 2017 or 18, right?
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, well, what a pig. I mean, come on. But I really noticed that even just out walking, I found it almost impossible to make eye contact with women, especially. You're gonna feel attacked if I look at you. I think for all the importance of women finally being able to come out and say what has happened to them, I think that's important. But that also got hijacked, I think, in a certain way.
Me Too nowadays only seems to matter in certain circles, because I look at Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and what horrific things happened there with trafficking women. And then I look at the men that were involved in that trafficking of women, and nothing happened to them. Meanwhile, you got R. Kelly. R. Kelly is, you know, put in jail now, for, rightly so, for the exact same type of abuses. But if R. Kelly had went to Epstein Island and had partook in the girls that Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein were bringing in, you would never have heard. It would have been sealed. He would have been safe. Meanwhile, you have all these elites that...
Yeah, but he's black, there. So you never know.
Well, that's true. Well, that's not true, because there are black people on the list on Epstein Island.
Okay, all right, very good. I take it back. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but very powerful actors and musicians and people. Now, that is not to say that any of them are guilty of those crimes. Some people might have gone to this very wholesome island and just enjoyed a good time on the beach.
Sunshine is good for you. Hard to know. We don't know.
It's hard to know, right? And that's what I can say. I don't know. But what I do know is that there is a double standard in the way things are prosecuted. Steve Bannon, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Bannon was just convicted for contempt of court for refusing to go and talk about the insurrection. Mm. But we forget that during Fast and Furious, where guns in Chicago were being put out, and we know, and when others in the Obama administration had been in contempt, that there was never actually followed up on. There is nobody going to jail for any of that. So it's a double standard. We become obsessed with Trump and making sure that they can be, you know, people call it the orange stain, making sure that the orange stain can be cleared. What happened to
I hadn't heard that. That's good.
What happened to the Pelosi stain and her husband, you know, benefiting off of decades of inside information and becoming rich? Are we going to talk about that? There's no accountability that's fair on both sides. COVID has just further exasperated the divide in the country. The Me Too movement, I think, you know, while it was great at the beginning, turned into another weapon of language. Yes. And it's unfortunate that that's where we find ourselves. I wish that in some respects, social media would all implode and blow up and no one would have access to it. We would have to talk to our neighbors and get local news again, rather than the big headlines where people all share the same talking points without any critical thought.
Very true. Yep. I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
All right. So let's talk music. If listeners go and they support Andy and check out his website, Andy Fight, that's FITE.net. If you go to andyfight.net and you listen to his music, you will hear that he has funny songs. You will hear that the humor, tongue in cheek at times, other times straight in your face, very explicit. But there's lots of different types of humor that you do bring comedy to the show. But at the same time, they're also going to find a very serious musician that loves Bach, a very serious musician that writes love songs and collaborates with other artists. You have a YouTube channel where you can see him performing with some other great jazz vocalist.
Can I break in my website? I've had trouble getting around to updating my website. So I like it, but it's way out of date. And the best places to look for me, if you know how to spell my name, Andy, F-I-T-E, Fight, is like either YouTube or Spotify or iTunes or any of those. That's where everything will be. And I think there's 55 albums now.
I hope that you're enjoying this interview with Andy Fight. We're going to break for a few moments here. This is America Emboldened on the America Out Loud Network.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. We know you because we are you. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. We are America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutloud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
Welcome back, everyone. You've been listening to an interview with Andy Fight, a jazz comic philosopher over in Sweden, born in the United States, still a proud American, still loves his country. And we're going to talk now in this section a little bit more about his music, which is how he supports himself. And the last time he was actually in the United States because of COVID. When's the last time you performed in the United States?
That was 2020, January 2020. I was there and did some playing with my hardcore jazz friends. Had a ball. Yeah.
So it's been about 2 years.
Two and a half.
Wow.
I was supposed to go back. I had some gigs in Pittsburgh with really good musicians there. Booked in April of 2020, but there was no traveling then. No. So it's been a long time. And now they're bringing masks back to New York City. I don't even want to go. I don't want to go until all of that is in, as Trotsky said, the dustbin of history.
Well, you know, in Oregon, they still have the QR codes. You got to show. And they have restaurants that will not even allow you to eat there if you don't have your QR code.
I heard, yeah.
Now, Andy, you were sharing with me that you're actually part of a control group of people that have not been vaccinated and they gave you a card. So when we talk about Oregon, talk about these places that are saying that you need to be vaccinated, you actually have this card that says you shouldn't be vaccinated because you're part of a control group of being studied and you have to report. Can you tell listeners what that website is and how they could possibly join if they're, maybe they're not accepting people, but what is it that you joined?
Well, I think they are accepting. It's the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine control group, and the website is www.vaxcontrolgroup, all one word, vaxcontrolgroup.com. I might have gotten vaccinated if I hadn't gotten sick with the COVID. I might have done it, but I couldn't see that it made any sense, so I didn't do it. And a friend of mine sent me a picture of her card that said, there's her picture, and it says, must not be vaccinated. Wow, I said, I want one of those. So I joined, and what they... I think they're pretty serious. I don't quite know all that they're doing, but we know that Pfizer, for example, unblinded the studies after about 2 months. They gave everybody the vax, so there was no control group. What kind of experiment is that? This is vaxcontrolgroup.com. You report, if you're in it, you report once a month any health events, especially if you've had a COVID test or especially a positive COVID test. So there's a whole series of lines. How do you say this? It's a form that you fill out online with how you're doing and what you're doing about it. What supplements maybe you're taking. And also any social issues, like have you lost a job? Are you having trouble? You know, there's a whole list of questions regarding the social side of being an unvaccinated person in the world today.
And so you update about once a month, you said?
Every month they ask you to, yes.
Yeah, so if any of the listeners out there want to participate in a control group, what a great way to contribute. Again, we don't know exactly how that's going to be used long term, what they're doing, but... if you want a card that says you shall not be vaxxed because you're part of this control group, great way to, one, protect your personal rights, and two, contribute the science and help others. I'm so glad you shared that. I had no idea that was a thing. We played Is This Information earlier. You sent me another song called The Scapegoat. What was The Scapegoat about?
Well, it really was the same thing. You know, if you don't get vaxxed, you're killing my grandma. Exactly that. But it's one of the, like I was saying before, I mean, I have this idea that we want a song ideally to feel universal. And this blaming people for stuff is one of these human patterns. And so I was feeling some of that pressure, like I'm a bad person because I don't agree with something that isn't making sense to me. If you're going to blame your problems on me, maybe I'd just better go. I'm just here living, which isn't much fun now that I'm in the midst of a torchlight parade I hoped and I prayed wouldn't come. If you're really gonna blame your problems on me, can't you see it? Don't you know that you really are so naive, believing the things you're told? It's not gonna end well. You'll wind up regretting, I know.
on me. Maybe I just better go.
Musically, I like the fact that these songs, you get into the song. They're about 2 minutes long, the past two that we've played. You get into the song and then you get out and you're left with the message. You're left with the melody, the music. I mean, I'm still on the is this information, disinformation, misinformation,
it's a hit, now information, it's a hit.
Right? when you talked about rhythm earlier, the rhythm is definitely there with.
It's right there already.
With the music.
Yeah.
Now, some other songs that you may find, I'm not playing today, but if you go onto Andy's YouTube channel, you can hear a personal favorite. Here's Dr. Fauci Makes Me Grouchy.
Oh, yay.
I'm sure you're going to find some people loving that song there, Andy. My listeners will love that song, maybe not in some other circles.
Not everybody likes it. I also have a song called Somebody Cough on the Donald, which I haven't performed very much.
Why'd you say that? What caused you to write that one?
Well, I don't like the Trumpster. I don't like him. When COVID was wailing and we were all scared, I wrote that song for myself. I didn't share it. I didn't play it in public until he was gone. But until he was out.
I find it so ironic that the right is so willing to question everything that the left says and does, but they're never willing to question Trump's motives. It just, well, he's going to make America great again. At what cost? Is he making America great again at the cost of also making sure his family's rich the rest of his life? And people seem to forget that Donald Trump was a Democrat long before he was a Republican.
Absolutely right.
The one thing that I will say, Andy, is I don't know that Donald Trump necessarily put any policies in place that damaged our country while he was president. I can't think of like a policy in particular that I'm going, gee, that really hurt us as a society. Can you think of anything? You can think of his words, but you can't think of policy. And that's just where I'm at.
He opened up a lot of oil and gas drilling in public lands, for example, in Alaska, for example. Mm-hmm. Not that the Democrats have been any better.
So from a environmental standpoint, that's where you would find criticism.
Yeah, that's one. Well, I think also he ramped up hostility to China, which is just as dangerous as the hostility to Russia, I would say. I was listening to Scott Ritter talk about the likelihood of the U.S. I mean, Biden has said, somebody asked him if China moves on Taiwan, would you intervene? He said, yes. Well, are you sure? The risk of a nuclear war around China is pretty strong. And I think Trump did quite a bit to exacerbate those tensions. Also, Trump was terrible on Venezuela. You know, this whole Juan Guaido business, that was awful. Trump had a great impulse to cool down tensions with Russia, to withdraw from NATO. That would have been brilliant. But he does not seem at all to be capable of focusing on the work of a president, not that Biden does. And he was surrounded by these neocons. He had John Bolton, for God's sake, this maniac, et cetera, et cetera. They call it the blob, the Washington blob, this military industrial complex. Both parties are completely owned, it looks like to me. And Trump, though, I've disliked him since I was living in New York in the 80s, and this guy appeared, you know, he was going to fix the skating rink in Central Park and made a big noise about himself. I said, gee, what an obnoxious guy. I always disliked him, and it was insane to me that somebody like that could be elevated to the presidency. I really don't get why anybody likes him, just as a person. He seems so utterly obnoxious to me. I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings, but I don't get it.
You're welcome to your opinion. I disagree with you on a few of your points. One, I would state that we were a more secure country with the fact he saber rattled, and he was deemed as being very much not in control of his emotions. And so his saber rattling against China, while I understand where you're looking at now that he's no longer president, I think China was scared out of their minds with him as president because they didn't know what he was capable of. And that was
Do you think it's a good thing to scare people? Do you think that's
No, that's not in my MO. No. I don't think it's a good thing to scare people.
Yeah.
But I do think that as far as a national security perspective, that he didn't endanger us with China. If anything, he hurt China in a lot of ways economically with sanctions that he put in. And now I think we are a bit more destabilized as a result. But if he, while he was president, I don't think China was messing with us whatsoever. I don't think a lot of the countries were wanting to mess with us because they couldn't know for sure what he would do with his military. And
how is China messing with the U.S. now?
I personally think that they're positioning themselves in Taiwan, watching what's happening in Ukraine with Russia. I do think that they're very curious about how Russia and Ukraine plays out, because that gives them the ability now to go for Taiwan. And so I think that the United States' reaction to the Ukraine is very important to the security of Taiwan and their freedom. But I guess what I'm getting at is, when Trump was president, I don't think that Russia attacks Ukraine, and I don't think that Taiwan gets invaded because they go, holy shit, this guy's actually capable of dropping nuclear bombs, where another presidency is looking at diplomacy.
That's the unhinged side
that I think actually worked in our favor.
Okay, that might be right. It occurs to me to mention that the whole business of selling arms to Ukraine was, I'm not a fan of Barack Obama either, but actually Obama, under pressure to sell arms to Ukraine, did not do it, because he said Ukraine is not a vital interest of the United States, and it is to Russia. So we're putting ourselves at risk if we screw around with that. And Trump is the one who started arming Ukraine. He was impeached by people like Adam Schiff, who wanted to. We aid Ukraine and her people so that we can fight Russia over there and we won't have to fight them over here. Wait, what was the risk of fighting Russia on American soil? Are you kidding me? There's a guy. So Trump was impeached over what does seem to have been a corrupt impulse to try to blackmail or pressure Ukraine into giving him dirt on Biden. But in fact, he is the one who started arming them. That was Trump.
So you're going to want to hear the interview with John Paul MacIsaac and what's on the Hunter Biden laptop.
I heard an interview with him and somebody else, and it does look to me like Trump would have been reelected if that story hadn't been suppressed. So
I'm not
one who buys the election being stolen at the level of the ballot box. I mean, though I wouldn't trust the elections in any case, I don't. But that story was so heavily suppressed. Glenn Greenwald left The Intercept, which he founded, because they would not print his telling of that story. Now we know it's true. And of course, they slammed it down and suppressed it. And when it peeped up and somebody could see it, they called it Russian disinformation. But it is clearly true.
So here's what I was going to just offer to you from that. And there was 220 gigabytes of data on it with emails galore.
Yeah.
But he also had his cell phone backup on it. And the backup was about 30 gigabytes of data, but it was encrypted, so no one could get into it.
Yeah.
And so it's been cloned now, like not cloned, but the drive has been shared so many times. Somebody was finally able just about a few months ago to crack his iCloud encryption to get into the phone, as well as when they did that, it gave them access in 2022 to every email from today, well, when that was cracked, all the way back.
Oh,
because he never changed his number. The idiot never changed his number.
He's a genius.
So the information, exactly. This guy's lost like 28 different laptops. So that's
how many
laptops
you got?
Seriously, he had 28 Mac devices, and many of them are gone. That's a whole other side of the story that, you know, I would love to investigate more, but I have the facts there from Apple. Okay. So they got into this, and what we actually see, Andy, is that Trump was right in his assertions that it was actually President Biden who was colluding with the Ukraine as a vice president. And the emails are explicit. It's not even like you follow Biden's words. He's like, yeah, you know, I went over there and I said, you don't get this money unless. When Trump did it, it was impeachable.
That's right.
Vice President Biden did it, we ignored it. And that is, again, that double standard.
Yep.
And here I am. I got the facts, but the rest of the news agencies, for whatever reason, won't run this story. You know, you got to listen to a podcast in order to get the interview with the facts. And I didn't even go fully into it because I was kind of afraid for my own safety to go into it. But when you get down to it, like that's the reason why I'm not carte blanche on I hate Trump. I'm carte blanche on at this point. I hate politics in the United States because none of them seem above board. None of them seem to have our best interest. Whether it's Trump or Biden, they all seem to be making money for themselves. When Obama was in there, Eric Holder was his big person that he took good care of. They're all criminal. And when you go to George Bush, you got George Bush and Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was the mastermind, a criminal, big war, you know. It just continues on down the line. I don't know who to trust, you know, for any of this.
I mean, I don't know how we ever get out from under this system, but it's pretty clear that you cannot rise in that system unless you are or develop into a psychopath.
Yep. All right. So we need to wrap up because I've kept you way too long today. I loved it too. And I'd love to have you back again as we'll unpack other stuff in life. We'll figure that out. Well, Andy, this has been an enlightening conversation, one that I think we should look back on. And many of these things that if people want to be critical, we're going to say, I don't know. We were doing the best we could with the information we had, right?
Exactly. The best we can do.
Yep. So we're just having a conversation. Hopefully you enjoy the conversation. This has been Andy Feit, the jazz comic philosopher from Sweden, who's also from the United States. If he finds himself back in the United States, you have to go check him out at a concert. So please, please check out his website, his Spotify, Andy, A-N-D-Y, Feit, F-I-T-E. Andy, is there anything that you'd like to promote, anything that you'd like to say to people as final thoughts?
Well, it's worth saying that I've got an album ready to drop. I have to remix a few tracks because the bass didn't come out strong enough, but I've got 16 new songs ready to go. And the title of the album is The Scapegoat. So that'll drop at Spotify and iTunes and Amazon and all those places really soon.
So check out Andy Feit's new album, The Scapegoat, coming soon. So maybe by the time you listen to this, you should go check, because some people listen to the podcast after the fact. It may be out already. But coming soon, Andy Feit, The Scapegoat. Andy, it has been an absolute pleasure on my end to get an opportunity to speak with you today. I hope that America and anyone listening to this podcast has enjoyed your wisdom, your spirit, and who you are as an individual. Continue to keep on rocking, continue to keep on being principled, continue to keep shaking some trees there of people's what they think that they know. And maybe someday you and I will say to everybody, we were wrong. Laugh at us.
Never know.
Never know, but we're open to it. I don't think that's going to happen on many of the issues, but I think that I'm open to having that conversation.
We'll
so, Andy,
out. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for being a part of America Emboldened on the America Out Loud Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Fight, everybody. Let's celebrate a bold American living in Sweden. Take care, Andy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Greg. What a pleasure it's been. Thanks.
If you would like to leave a comment about today's interview, you can reach me on Twitter at RealGregBolden, or you can email me at AmericaEmboldened@gmail.com. This has been America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.